2 Kings chapter 2. We're going to read the first 14 verses. Now that you finally got to the right place, let's begin reading in verse number 1. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot thereof, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Notice at the end of verse 9, Elisha's request, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this wonderful, miraculous story of the departure of the great prophet Elijah into heaven. And Father, of the passing of the mantle to Elisha. And Lord, for his request for a double portion. Lord, we're thankful for what it meant to Elisha, what it meant to the nation of Israel. God, we're a needy people today. We need some folks, Father, that are hungry for and desirous of a double portion. Lord, give us that desire. Give us that spiritual vision. Give us that hunger and thirst for righteousness, that we, like Elisha, might have that desire for those things which are definitely beneficial and more profitable, Father, than anything else we could ever ask for. Bless our time in your word tonight. Communicate your thoughts through me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You know the story that we're reading. God's going to take Elijah up into heaven. And the nation of Israel is going to lose one of its greatest prophets. Elijah, that great miracle worker. That one who held the rain off for 3.5 years and then opened up the windows of heaven. That one who sustained the widow woman with her oil and took care of her and her poor son. That one that raised a young boy, a young lad from the dead. That great prophet of Israel, Elijah, that Ahab so despised because he was a prophet of the Lord. That one that was in type, a type of John the Baptist who was to come. The book of Malachi says this was, as it were, John, this was the prophet Elijah. One of the greatest prophets that Israel ever had. But now he's leaving. Israel is going to be without a prophet. Oh, there's the school of prophets. We just read about them. At Bethel, there was a school of prophets. At Jericho, there was a school of prophets. At Jordan, there were 50 of them that came and watched what was going on. But nobody fit, nobody worthy to fill the shoes of the prophet Elijah. But there was a man named Elisha. And Elisha could look beyond what everybody else saw. He saw the need of the nation. He saw the need for their yielding to God and their repentance before God. And he desired from his innermost being to be the next prophet to Israel. Not for personal gain, not for personal popularity or power, but because he knew that Israel had a need. So this evening we're going to look at Elisha's request for a double portion. We're going to look at three things about this request and then also see that you and I today can make that same request of God. We don't have to look at those who have come before us or those who are now and say the power of God rests on them and it'll never be on anybody else like that again. We have had great forefathers of our faith down through the years. We read their missionary biographies. We read about the great preachers and evangelists of days gone by, the Billy Sundays and so forth. But can I tell you, God's not done. God's not finished. Until he comes back to call his church out home, he can still be giving a double portion if somebody wants it badly enough. And therein is the rub. To want it as bad as Elisha did. To make the request for a double portion. Let's look at that request tonight. First of all, I want to point out or notice that it is a sincere request. Elisha's request was a sincere request. When I think about him, when Elijah said to him, What wouldest thou? And when he answers that a double portion of thy spirit would rest upon me, my mind goes back to 1 Kings, not 1 Samuel. My mind goes back to 1 Kings chapter 3, where another man was offered anything that he would ask, God said, I'll give it to you. And that man was Solomon. And Solomon, out of all the things he could have asked for, he asked for an understanding heart. We say he asked for wisdom, and that's summarizing. But the exact words, he said, Lord, give me an understanding heart. I'm young. I don't know how to come in and go out among these people. But give me an understanding heart. And the Bible says God gave him an understanding and wise heart. Why did Solomon want it? Not for personal gain. Not for popularity. He's the king. He wanted it for the benefit of others. I think Elisha fits that same bill. I think when he made this request for a double portion, it was not for his own benefit, his own profit, but for the nation of Israel. They were going to be without a prophet when Elijah disappeared, and Israel would have been in trouble. He had a desire for them to get what they needed. Israel needed. This was his desire. What shall I give thee, Elisha? A double portion of thy spirit. You know what America needs today? Christians with a double portion. Christians who are sold out to God. Christians who are serious about their faith. Christians that can live in this world and not be of this world, to live on a higher plane and be a different kind of people. To be clean living, to be God-honoring, to be Christ-exalting. That's what the world needs to see today. That is the cure for America. I read a book earlier this year. And the book was about the one person that can fix all of America's problems. And the book was entitled The Return. And I said, yes, that's it. The one who can fix all of our problems, The Return, written by Dick Morris. And he showed conclusively that if this one person would come back, that everything would be fixed and everything would be good and everything would be right in America. The Return. He could have named it anything, but he called it The Return. You know who it was the return of? Donald Trump. Running for president in 2024. Now I'll give you this. Donald Trump and just about any Republican could make a better improvement on our country than where we got. But I just thought, The title of the book, The Return, and the picture of the one man that can fix all our problems, I thought, that's the problem with the world today. They're looking to the wrong source. They're looking to the wrong place. They're looking to the White House to fix everything. It's not that. We need a double portion of God's Spirit. And if Christians would get on fire, not just the evangelical vote, but the evangelical voice. Not a fan of that word evangelical, but you know what, how the term is used. But if our voice would just get out there, if we would exalt Christ and preach Christ and teach Christ, that would make a difference in the world. Elisha knew that an Israel without Elijah was going to be in trouble. And so he was willing to be that one that would dare to ask for that double portion. It is said of D.L. Moody that he said these words, "The world has yet to see a man or a woman, the world has yet to see a man that is completely sold out to God." D.L. Moody said, "Lord, I want to be that man." D.L. Moody was greatly used of God. He had the desire. He made the request. Elisha said to Elijah, "I pray thee that let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." It was a sincere request. You know, it had to be a sincere request. Because that's not a request that's going to go easily. Notice what Elijah said in verse number 10. "Thou hast asked a hard thing." I want a double spirit, a double portion of thy spirit, Elijah. Elisha, you don't know what you're asking for. Along with this double spirit comes double trouble. I mean, there's people that when they saw Elijah, what form of man was he? And they described the clothing anyway. It's Elijah the prophet. And they went after him. "Elisha, you don't know. Thou hast asked a hard thing." But he was determined to get it. Look, if you would, notice this. This is very interesting, I think. Look at verse 1. Notice where this journey begins. "And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind." Where did that happen? Well, at the end of the story, it happened at the River Jordan. But where are they now when the story starts? That Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. All right? This story is going to end at the Jordan River, but they start at Gilgal. That's 35 miles away from the River Jordan. And as they begin that journey, Elijah says to Elisha in verse number 2, "Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel." Elisha, stay here. Now, Elijah is simply trying him, testing his determination, seeing what he's made of, seeing his fiber, seeing his character. "Elisha, you stay here at Gilgal. I'm going on to Bethel." And you know what Elisha says in verse number 2, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they went down to Bethel. Now they get to Bethel, and the sons of the prophets in verse number 3 there at Bethel came to Elisha and said, "Don't you know, or knowest thou not, that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he said, "I know it, shut up." No, that's not what he said. He said, "Yea, I know it, hold ye your peace." Not only is Elijah the prophet testing him, but the sons of the prophets, his body of prophets, is also testing him. Why are you following him? Why are you going from Gilgal to Bethel? Why did you come here to Bethel? Why did you follow him all these 25 miles from Gilgal to Bethel? Why did you follow him all this way? You're wasting your time. There's no benefit in it. The Lord's going to take him away today. He's going to be gone. You should have stayed at Gilgal. He says, "I know it. Be quiet. Hold ye your peace." But he went with him to Bethel. Verse 4, "And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." Now he's gone from Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho. And the same thing happens. "As the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they came to Jericho. He was determined. Nothing was going to distract him from what he wanted. Again, we're talking about the sincerity of his request. He was determined to get it. In spite of Elijah's testing, in spite of the temptation of the prophets, verse 5, the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha, a separate group of people from those that were at Bethel. But they do the same exact thing. They try to discourage him. They said to Elijah, they said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he answered, "Yea, I know it, hold ye your peace." And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray ye here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. From Gilgal to Bethel, from Bethel to Jericho, from Jericho to Jordan. Elisha would not be discouraged. He wanted that double portion. He wanted to be there when Elijah was caught up into heaven. As the Lord liveth, he says in verse 6, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. All the determination of a sincere request before God. God, I will follow you. Lord, I will be faithful. Lord, I'll face the trials. I'll face the temptations. I'll face the slander of others. Them telling me I'm wasting my time living a Christian life. That I'm being frivolous with my time and my attention. But Lord, I'll follow. Verse 7, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. His request has not been known yet, but I believe it's in his heart. I believe he knows what it is he wants. And that desire has made him say, wherever Elijah goes, I'm going to go. Where thou goest, I will go. Where thou tarriest, I will tarry. Sounds like the words of two ladies in the book of Ruth. And Elisha says the same thing of Elijah. I'm going to follow you wherever you go. From Gilgal to Bethel, from Bethel to Jericho, from Jericho to Jordan. I'll not leave thee. Different words. Or forsake thee. Elijah says, I'm going to follow you. Verse 8, and Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too, went over on dry ground. Just Elijah and Elisha crossed the river Jordan. All the naysayers, all the others, were on the other side. And it was just Elijah and Elisha. You see how willing he was to follow him all the way? Not be discouraged. Not be detracted. He had a sincere request. Secondly, it was a spiritual request. A double portion of thy spirit. He could have asked for anything. Just as the Lord said to Solomon, ask what you will and I'll give it to you. What did Solomon ask for? An understanding heart. And what did the Lord say to Solomon when he asked for an understanding? He said, because thou hast not asked for thyself riches, or long life, or the life of thine enemies, I will give you an understanding and wise heart. Solomon didn't ask for the material things of this world. Now God definitely gave those to him. He became the wealthiest king that ever lived. He became the wisest king that ever lived. He didn't have many enemies. He didn't even have to lift up a sword in war. But because he asked for a spiritual thing, for wisdom to know how to, God granted that. Here is Elisha. What is it that you want, Elisha? Do you want money? You want clothing? You want notoriety? What is it you want? I want, Elijah, a double portion of your spirit. I want what's been on you for your ministry to be on me. It was a spiritual request. Look, just a couple chapters. Look over to chapter 5. Chapter 5, you remember this story. Seems like I mentioned it sometime recently because it's familiar in my mind. Elisha cures Naaman of his leprosy. I did. I preached on the little maid sometime within the last month or two. The main person in the story. Not Naaman. Not the king of Israel. Not the king of Syria. Not even the prophet. But the little maid was the one that was the hero of the story, so to speak. But Elisha told Naaman, that great captain of the host, go down to the river Jordan, dip 7 times, and if you do, your skin will be as fresh and clean as the day you were born. And long story short, Naaman reluctantly went down there by the prodding of his men. He dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, though he believed there were better rivers back in Syria where he came from. He went ahead and did what the prophet did. And when he came up, his flesh was clean like a baby's skin. When that happened, notice in 2 Kings chapter 5, notice verse number 15. And he, being Naaman, returned to the man of God, that's Elisha. he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, Behold, now I know that there is a God in all the earth, that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Aren't you glad Elisha filled the shoes of Elijah? Because this is post-Elijah. He's gone. If Elisha had not gotten that double portion, if he'd not filled those shoes, this story never takes place. And Naaman the Syrian, says, I know that there is no God in all the earth except the God of Israel because of the prophet Elisha. And he says, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. If Elisha was in this for prosperity, now's his chance. The captain of the host of Syria, a powerful, wealthy man, is telling Elisha, ask whatever you want and I'll give it to you. But Elisha says in verse 16, As the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I will receive none. He did not take advantage of it. He was not after worldly gain. He didn't say, just go back to Syria and tell everybody what I, Elisha, have done for you. He wasn't after that. The Bible even says at the end of verse 16, And Naaman, urged him to take it. He pressured him. He pushed upon him. Take some things, whatever you want. I'll give you silver, I'll give you gold, I'll give you clothing. You read the rest of the story and Gehazi messes up big time by chasing down Naaman and getting all that stuff. But Elisha wouldn't take it. He wasn't after material gain. He wasn't after prosperity or power. It was a spiritual request. You ought to jot down, if you're taking notes there, James chapter 4, verse number 3. James chapter 4, verse number 3, James said this, You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Gehazi chased down Naaman and asked for changes of apparel and some coins, some things like that. Elisha wouldn't ask for them. That's not what he was interested in. It was a spiritual request. Can I challenge you, Christian, tonight to check your prayer list? And see how many of those are spiritual requests. Personally, for yourself, to grow in the Lord, to walk closer to Him, to be more sincere in your faith, to be a better testimony, a better witness, whatever it might be. Spiritual requests for others, unsaved family members, friends, those out of fellowship with God, backslidden, whatever it might be. Spiritual requests. Oh, we're good at praying for God to meet our needs, give us this day our daily bread. And there's nothing wrong with that. We're commanded to do that. But spiritual requests, God never turns those down. God never says no. Solomon, what do you want? An understanding heart. Elisha, what do you want? A double portion of the Spirit that sits upon Elijah. Are we making spiritual requests? I read this. I'm not sure it fits in the message perfectly here, but it's worth repeating anyways. I read this that A.W. Tozer said this. He said, the early church, I got to read it to make sure, without the Holy Ghost, the early church could not have done 95% of what it did. All right, think about that just for a minute. Without the Holy Ghost, without the Spirit of God, the early church, the book of Acts, could not have done 95% of what they did. But sadly, the modern church could do 95% of what they do without the Spirit of God. We need to put that emphasis in the right place. We need to put it on the spiritual. I have been convinced of this as we get again to the yearly celebration of our church anniversary. We count God's blessings by our location. We count it by the building. We count it by His blessings upon us financially. But those aren't the important things. Those are all secondary. The number of lives that have been affected and touched through Bible Baptist Church, those that are still here, those that have graduated to glory, those that have been here and moved on to other places from here, no matter who they are, but the number of people saved, the number of folks married, the number of lives touched, the number of young people influenced, that's the blessing of any church. He made a spiritual request. Can I encourage you? Check your list. Check it twice. I'll stop there. make sure you're making spiritual requests. Elisha's prayer is going to be answered. His request is going to be given because he was sincere, because it was spiritual. And then thirdly, and this was a challenging word for me to find, so I think it was a successive request. Successive. One after the other. Elisha following Elijah. One after the other. The successor, and this is what the Lord impressed me with. The successor can surpass the predecessor. Now I know that's a lot of big $5 words. But remember, I do have a doctor's degree, so I'm allowed to use them. And I can charge you for that too. All right? The successor can surpass the predecessor. I think we have been sold a bill of goods that spirituality in any church, in any home, in any family is going to decline, not improve. And I think that's a lie of the devil. I think it can happen. I think it does happen. But I don't think it has to happen. You know what Elijah said to Elisha? Or Elisha said to Elijah, my father, the chariots of heaven and the fire thereof. My father. Now, he wasn't his physical father. But can I tell you that the son can surpass the spiritual level of the father? The daughter can pass the spiritual level of the parents. The parents can pass the spiritual level of their parents. It's happened time and time and time again. And it can still happen. Here Elijah is getting caught up to heaven. Elisha says, I want a double portion of thy spirit. Bible teachers, Bible scholars have gone through this and they all come to the same conclusion, though many of the different numbers. They say that Elijah in his lifetime performed 8 miracles. Again, I mentioned a few of those at the beginning of the message. Stopping the rain from heaven, providing the widow's oil, raising the widow's son, different things Elijah did. And they also enumerate that Elisha performed exactly 16 miracles. Double the number of Elijah. I read one thing that said Elijah performed 16 miracles and Elisha performed 32. I think we get to the point now where we have to prove the Bible right. We don't have to prove the Bible right. The Bible's already right. And I looked at that longer list and some of those miracles didn't appear to be miracles. They were prophecies, things like that. But nonetheless, he said, I want a double portion of thy spirit. And he got it. And he exceeded the spiritual level of Elijah the prophet. Doesn't that just wow you? That great prophet Elijah, Elisha doubled up the power and effectiveness of Elijah because he asked for a double portion of his spirit. That means, and I'm not trying to twist this, but Elisha could walk closer to God than even Elijah did. It doesn't have to be less. You don't have to settle for less. You can have more than your predecessor. Oh, parents, train your children to have more than what you've got. Not financially. Not better cars, bigger houses. We think, well, that's the heritage I want to leave to my children. No, leave a better heritage than that. Leave an example of spirituality. Leave an example of walking with God. Because the successor can exceed the predecessor. You know where proof of that is? A fellow named Enoch. A fellow named Enoch that walked with God and was not, for God took him. His father Jared, I'm sure, was a good guy. But Enoch far surpassed what Jared did. There's examples all throughout the Bible. How about Noah? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Lamech, his father, lived a long time. I'm sure he was a good guy. We don't read much about him. But Noah, that was a different story. How about David? Jesse, I'm sure, was a fine man, but David exceeded. There's all through the Scripture, there's second generations that exceeded as far as we can tell and look. the spirituality of the previous generation. It doesn't have to go downhill. It doesn't have to be less effective. Our younger generation needs to know they can serve God as well as the previous generation and even better. I like that. Even better. Even more. Oh, we're so busy warning them. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Yes, they will. Things are going to get worse and worse. Yes, they are. But that doesn't mean they can't walk closer to God than we have. Folks, doesn't mean your grandkids can't walk closer to God than you do. We need to, but we've got to set an example for them. Elijah set an example for Elisha to follow. Elisha followed it and doubled it up. Younger generation, God can do something with you. Oh, I'm encouraged when I go to Camp Victory and I see the number of young people that are there. I'm encouraged when we go to Bible colleges and see hundreds of young people that are eager and anxious to serve God. Any young person can serve God if they're willing to and wanting to. The difficulty is you've got to make a sincere decision to do it. You've got to make a spiritual decision to do it. You've got to be willing to follow God from Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho to Jordan. You've got to follow Him through good times and rough times. You've got to stick with Him. You've got to be around Him. But He can do it. He can give you a double portion of that Spirit. Jesus said in His Sermon on the Mount, "They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled." We need that spiritual hunger, that spiritual desire, that spiritual request that Elisha have. Oh God, that I might have a double portion of that Spirit. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.